Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Viditya's Dice Corner, the one and only tabletop RPG podcast. This week is a special week because I will be starting a new series to commemorate our D4th episode. I'm going to start Viditya's Dice Deep Dive, where I look at a specific die size and die type and really dive into what makes it special, really review it in full instead of a full set, you know, give it the time it deserves. And like I said before, as our fourth episode, our D4th episode, I'm going to be looking at, you guessed it, the D4. So everybody buckle up, get your D4s ready, because this is going to be a journey that you will want to be a part of. So, as always, we will start our episode reviewing the D4. So, as you know, I have a few criteria that I go through with my dice and my dice sets. But because we're not looking at a set, we're just looking at some dice, I'm going to go through that same criteria, but maybe a little deeper. And I also have, I've put in front of me a variety of D4 that I own. This is definitely not an exhaustive list. You probably have different D4 than I do. I don't have all the materials available, but I do have a variety of them. Let's get into this, okay? First, we'll start with aesthetic, right? What is a D4? Well, it's a pyramid shape, or I guess a tetrahedron, as the scientific term would put it, as our academics would put it. It's very nice. I think like the shape of it itself as of a D4 is very visually appealing. I'm aware that the D4 is, of course, it's a highly contentious die, especially when it comes to rolling, and we will get to that. It's a very pretty dice. I have many D4 that I think look very nice. So the specific aesthetic that I want to talk about with the D4, because the D4 is an interesting die because it actually has a variety, it has two that I've seen so far, of how you read a D4, which I think is very fascinating. So if you have your D4 with you, or as many as you have, I happen to have a few of mine that came in like Chessex dice sets, where when you roll the die, you read the number that is face up on the top, on the point that is facing upward. But then I also have D4s where the number that lands on the base that is facing upward on the bottom is the result. And I find this absolutely fascinating when it comes to the aesthetic of the D4. My bias, of course, is the top red one. I am not a big fan of the base read numbers, but it is an interesting choice because all the numbers are pointing inward at like a central point of each face of the D4, while the ones where all the numbers are pointing outward towards an edge, a point of the D4. I personally love to read when I roll the dice. I like to, it's a lot easier for me to read the numbers on the points, but I am not going to deny points for the D4 where the numbers face inward and that you read them on each edge, not each point. Very, very fascinating part of the D4 itself, in my opinion. And of course, aesthetically, the D4 is a little crowded when it comes to, you know, like highly stylized dice. My highly stylized dice that I look at are they're the official Pathfinder Goblin dice, I'm pretty sure, is enough to get you to know what I'm talking about. You know, there's a lot going on. There's not a lot of face to the D4, so your numbers and your style can maybe get a little muddled, which I can see a little bit here with the die that I have. Other aesthetic D4s may differ, but I do feel like overall, they're definitely the more harder to read stylized dice. Now we will be moving on to the rolling section of the review for the D4. In this case, for this specific show, I will be rolling the dice in an increasing number of the same die, and we will be going through all of it at once in one section, and then we will talk about it afterwards. So I will start by rolling in my hand a 1d4, casting it onto my rolling mat, and thinking about how it rolls, how it shakes, and how it lands. So pay attention, and if you have your own D4, feel free to join in. Content warning coming up for this next segment. There will be some audio spikes as I roll dice into the mic. This is 1d4. This is 2d4. This is 3d4. This is 4d4. This is 5d4. This is 6d4. This is 7d4. This is 8d4. And now all the D4 I own. Wow. A lot to unpack there. I hope you all also tried this at home with me to understand fully the tactile nature of what we are about to talk about. So, rolling 1d4, not great. I am not a fan of rolling 1d4. It barely rolls around in your hand. When you cast it, it barely rolls, and it barely creates a sound. It is not a fun die to roll. 1d4, not great. But I am also not a fan of rolling single dice, for a few reasons, because it immediately lacks that tactile nature of clanking around in your hand with other dice. So, pretty expected, but still very lackluster. 2d4, though, do definitely bring out a little bit more. The D4 make a very interesting sound when you roll together, which really comes out when you roll 3D4 together. 3D4 now start to make that kind of jingly sound. The sound difference between D4s and any other dice is fascinating. They're a lot more like tinny. It feels like you're rolling a bunch of chits in your hand rather than solid dice. I think that makes them way more interesting a die than anyone has really given them credit. And once you roll 4d4, I think that's when you have to start worrying about the pointy bits. The pointy bits of the d4 as you roll them around in your hand. It starts to be a little unwieldy. But, after 4d4, it kind of does not matter how many more you put in your hand. That's how I felt, at least. I have pretty normal-sized hands, I would say. I've checked, and they're not small, they're not large. And at that point, when you're rolling with two cupped hands, you can hold as many d4 as you want, and it seems to be pretty good, which was even seen when I rolled all of the d4 that I have. I didn't feel like I was struggling to contain them, and I felt like I was getting a good shake before I cast them out. Now, casting the d4, as mentioned before with the single d4, it is unsatisfying to see them land, at least singular ones. They do not roll like other dice, which is why I think a common complaint to d4s are that they're not fun to roll. They just plop down. As I agree with that, here's my rebuttal, and this is what's important about Viditya's dice deep dive, is that I'm trying to look at it from various angles. What the D4 offer that other dice do not is a conclusion, is an impact, a dramatic period to the end of your roll. You do not have an ellipses as your dice roll about and you have to anticipate the end and see where they go. They fall. They land. They give you a result. And it shows in when you cast multiple d4. When you cast multiple of them, you hear that period, that punctuation. They have fell. It is dramatic. And I think that's very satisfying and very interesting that I would love to see more, at least thought about, heard of, right? I am a, as a designer, I'm a big fan of that anticipation when you roll a bunch of D6 or a bunch of D8 or anything that rolls, D20s, D12s, and they kind of jumble about and you have to quickly look around, but the D4, it's right there. You know what you get as soon as you roll it. It tells you your result. It does not wait for you. And that is very powerful for the D4. Those are my major thoughts. I think the other important thing to note, actually, before I forget, is reading the dice of a D4 is also not that much fun. It's not hard, per se. When you look at it, you go, okay, that's a 2, that's a 4. If you're reading the number on the point, on the upper point. But they're not, like, as easy as, say, a D6 because they're not facing you. They're not facing upward, which is definitely points off for the D4s overall. My biggest complaint, though, is the interesting side of the variety of a D4 with how the numbers are laid out kind of detract a lot of points when I'm trying to roll a bunch of them and they are of different orientation. So when I roll a bunch and some of the numbers are up top on the vertical point and some of the numbers are on the bottom at the base, which determine my result, I'm confused. I'm not happy. It's not an easy result. I am taken out of the fiction of the narrative of the moment of rolling. It's not a fun scouring for results. It's more a, wait, which is the result? And I don't think that's a good thing for dice to have. So mixing your D4s, as much as I love that kind of aesthetic choice, in all honesty, you kind of have to have a homogeneous D4 collection, at least when you're rolling pools of them. So now we are going to move on to the mouthfeel. In this segment, I will be putting a number of D4 into my mouth and releasing them, and we will be judging the D4 accordingly. Content warning for this upcoming section, I will be putting dice in my mouth and rolling them around and spitting them out, so you will be hearing that. 1 D4. 2 D4. 3 D4. 4 D4. 5 D4. So let's talk about the mouthfeel of the D4. I feel like this is another very contentious part, right? You would assume that right off the gate, it's awful, it's bad. But I'll say it's not the worst. Of course, we'll have to deep dive into the other dice for me to say which die is the worst mouthfeel. But the D4 does not have awful mouthfeel. A singular one is not. He's not great, but not bad. I think the best part about a singular D4 is its sloped edges are fun to kind of play with between the teeth, but you cannot put that like in the pocket of your cheek. It just sticks out. It starts poking you. You cannot rest them between your teeth at all, and under your tongue. Like, it doesn't play well. You have to kind of keep it moving, but only in very specific ways. So it's not that great. 2d4 increases the fun and the pain, I think. And as you get more and more, and I only did 5d4 because that's a choking hazard. I want everyone to know that this is a very safe podcast. So when you check the mouthfeel of your dice, please have another person nearby just in case. It doesn't really get better the more dice you put in your mouth, I would say. 2d4 is pretty fun. 1d4 is okay. Not the best mouthfeel, but a unique mouthfeel. That's the, again, another important part about the d4. Everyone kind of hates on the d4, but it's almost like they're hating on how unique it is. They're not really aware of its strengths and flaws, only really looking at the flaws. Much like the rolling part, there's this other aspect of it that you don't get from other dice. It doesn't play like other dice, and that's why it's a very fascinating die to check the mouthfeel of, and it has a very good, unique mouthfeel. It's very nice, I would say, in all honesty. I was surprised, but as I said before, there are places in the mouth that you just cannot go. Now we are going to talk a little bit more about some different uses for the D4 that maybe people aren't thinking about, as well as some questions that I have that we will be discussing into this final segments of Viditya's Dice Corner's Dice Deep Dive. So as we've reviewed, the D4 has a very interesting aesthetic. It has a very unique, impactful roll. It has a very interesting sound when rolling in your hand before casting. And a, you know, conflicting mouthfeel, I think, is the best way to put it. But people don't really use the D4. It definitely is something that a lot of RPG designers, players, don't really think about. They think of it as the lowest of the low, right? A D4 is the dagger of the dice. They are your first option, or your last resort, I should say, not your first option. And I think there's different ways that we can think about the D4, as we have seen today, right? A D4 pool, a pool of D4, feels good to roll, which I think people should take advantage of. Adding D4 to, say, some D6s, right? If you'll, we're going to do a little bit of live stuff. So, like, here, I got 2D6, and now I'm going to add 2D4, right? There's something pretty interesting about that. You're adding two very different feeling things in your hand, which is worth exploring. I know a few systems like the Bolt system, which uses D4 as like a chaos die, so you're always rolling a D4 alongside other stuff, and I think that creates a very interesting feel in your hand, and that's a very interesting system that you would want to maybe explore. D4s do not stack. They are unstackable dice. So maybe think about them in that sense as well, right? When you think about dice as a tactile thing, you put a D4 on top of something and it negates its ability to be stacked. That is a concept that I think is worth exploring, especially as, you know, everybody loves to stack dice. So what does it mean to, like, put a little hat, put a little ridge, put a little point at the top of stuff? Another interesting idea that you could do with the D4, as we're just kind of playing around with it, is not even think about it as a randomizer for what number it lands on, but the D4 has points. It's probably the most directional die, if that makes sense. It points in directions when you cast it. So let's say you roll a 2d6 again, right? And I roll, or like even just a larger pool. So let's say like I'm rolling like 4d6 and 1d4. Then I can say, hey, the d4 is pointing in a direction. You would like maybe designate a number that it would be pointing to, or even designate several numbers. So now there's like a whole mechanic about if you're rolling a d4 and you don't actually care about what number it lands on, but what it's pointing at. So I rolled some dice and the 2 is pointing directly at a d6 that is landed on a 5. And that could create some interesting physicality to your dice that isn't happening normally. You know, and then like maybe the fact that it's pointing at a die means something, or the fact that like the 2 is pointing at this die means something different. Of course, this only works with the d4 that have the numbers pointing up at the points, not in the on the bases, not on the sides. But I think those are the most common types of d4 anyway, so that shouldn't be too much of a problem. But that's just another interesting way to look at the d4. I think the major thing I want to put out when it comes to the d4 is an interesting die because it is different in a lot of ways, right? So this idea of thinking about its physicality when I'm talking about like stacking dice and stuff like that could be very interesting, because you can like roll it and they can talk to each other, right? Let's say I even roll like a bunch of d4 together. All right, I roll a few d4 together, and then like they're all pointing at each other, and that could be an interesting way to read d4 differently. Instead of just looking at the one that's at the top, you look at the ones that are on the bottom. I think that that's probably a really interesting way that you can start looking at these. And these are mostly kind of my thoughts on the d4 that is definitely an underrated die. And at the start of this, to be completely honest with you listeners, I was also not a big fan of the D4. I do not care much for it. I thought, oh, you, it's pointy, it's like the Lego of the dice, because you don't want to step on them, right? They're like caltrops and they don't roll well. I like dice that roll well. And I was pleasantly surprised by this journey, really diving into what it means to be the D4. And finding that there's some things in here that I really love. Like I said before, I've mentioned multiple times in this episode, the sound it makes when you roll a few in your hand, like, it's very different than, say, the sound of, like 4 D6. It's very different. It's less hollow, which is very satisfying. And I want to see that more in games, because a singular D4 does not roll well, but a pool of them, a D4 system could be very fun to think about. Another interesting thing about the D4 is that it is basically a coin toss, right? It's a much more simplified coin toss, because you just, you are able to kind of roll them. They're like little, you know, they're dice. So instead of having to flip a coin, you just have a D4, which is like evens, odds, very easy, or 1, 2, 3, 4, or whatever. And as we're going to talk about a little later with like the Royal Game of Ur, where it was basically used as a coin toss, 1 or 0. So that's very fascinating. I'm trying to think about like if there's anything else that really stands out to me. But let's move on to questions. I think that's the place that we should go. So our first question comes from Will Yopst, who uses they-them pronouns. Will asks, sometimes we tie dice to their metaphorical end. A d8 is a long sword. A d20 is an answer. How can we look at d4s under this light? This is a very fascinating question and definitely a very thought-provoking one. As I said before, as you mentioned, like the d8 is the long sword. The d4 is the dagger. Right? It is this like last resort, low damage kind of thing. But I think the D4 also can represent quick change, uncertainty. I know a lot of games also use D4. A lot of games that have like a dice explosion system, right? Where if you roll the highest number on a die, then it explodes, you roll it again, you add the 2, and it keeps going. It's a chain. And the D4 allows for that very easily, because it's very easy to roll a 4 as compared to a 6, right? It's just fractions, it's probability. And I think like that's what the metaphorical end of it should be. It's this last resort. It's this true like flip of the coin. As I mentioned before, it's this excuse my language, but like, fuck it. Like, we need that extra boost. Roll the D4. If it hits a 4, then we've done it, you know? And I think that's really fun. It's not swingy. It's reliable, but not, but still terrifying, right? That's how I would want to do it. It's this, like, my sword got tossed aside, and I had to grab my dagger, and if I can get that 4, then I've won, but I have to get that 4, and that's super cool, because the probability of that is a lot higher than, I need that 20, or I need that 8, right? And I like that a lot about the D4. I think that's something that I want people to think about in their mind when it comes to the D4, is those very short scale of its probability. Will asks a second question, will it fuck up your gums? It can. As I mentioned before, the D4, when you put it into like your cheeks, it does start to hurt. So if you put more of them in there, it'll start to fuck up your gums. It's not going to fuck up like, you know, like the gums of your teeth too much, unless you're really working it there, because they actually slide. It has a huge front face, right? It's got big faces for such a small die, which is like really cool. So they're not as hurtful as I think people think they are, but yeah, don't put them into your cheeks. That's a bad time. Our second question comes from MV, Max V, uses he, they pronouns. Do you think there is any specific reasons D4s were invented before the other dice? And this is going back to, as I've hinted at before throughout this episode, the Royal Game of Ur uses D4, like one of the oldest recorded games in history, probably the oldest recorded game in history, at least board game, uses D4s. It uses tetrahedral dice. And there's no numbers on the faces, but instead two of the tips are painted and two of the tips are left blank. And the painted, so when you roll, basically you roll, I think, I want to say 4d4 or 2d4. I'm so sorry. But when it lands on a painted side up, then that counts as one movement or one additional movement. So you can get up to 2. I think it's 2d4 actually. You get up to 2 movement, 1 movement, or 0 movement. And that's basically, like, that's what I was talking about before with, like, it's basically a coin toss, but you can toss multiple coins, right, in one single action. And I think that's probably what was being thought of there, right, where you're just trying to look for, like, a simple way to get a yes or no, but in a batch. So you want several yeses and nos. Several ones or zeros, and a D4 lets you do that. Just it's in there, and I find that really fascinating. I'm really glad that you brought this to my attention, because I never would have thought about that. Even though I find the Royal Game of Ur very fascinating, especially because it uses D4s, and it's like similar to kind of like stick dice. I know in like Hinduism stuff like that, we use stick dice, which are similarly yes or no. It's two-sided. So the D4 is just another way, or like a clay, moldable way to do that. My last question comes from Matt Fennell, who uses he, they pronouns. Can you tell us about the fabled, quote-unquote, two-pointy D4s I've heard of? I think from Game Science. So I do not have a Game Science die, and I've never invested in them, but yes, I've heard these rumors as well about two pointy D4s, and I brought out my metal die, my metal D4, my rose gold D4, because it is a painful die to roll. I haven't been rolling it, but it's so painful. It's two pointy. This is not a fun die to roll. I like my metal dice a lot from Dice Dungeons, but they are, God, it is painful to hold sometimes. Like, I know some people are going to be like, oh, it's just a die, but like, I don't know, like, I can't really cup it in my hand in any comfortable way. But a plastic D4, like, I can cup in my hand, it's not going to hurt. Like, I can squeeze my hand with a D4, it doesn't hurt. But I'm like so delicate with this. I can't imagine somebody who's like, we need perfect, clear-cut dice, right? And to do that with a D4, you've basically just invented caltrops. I mean, it's painful. It's a bad experience. So beware, buyers and dice enthusiasts. The D4, the metal D4s, and those like extremely, you know, 100% random D4s could be very bad to play with. And I would recommend having some plastic ones with the nice rounded edges there for you. Because these dice don't roll anyway. So there's no real problem with that. They're going to fall flat onto a face. So there's no reason to have extremely accurate sides, in my opinion, at least. Well, everybody, this was the first episode of Viditya's Dice Corner Dice Deep Dive for our special D4th episode to deep dive into the D4. I hope you enjoyed this and came out with a greater appreciation for our little weird-shaped die friend, the D4, and I definitely did. I mean, it's a much more versatile die than I thought so. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this. Please, if you want, you can support me on Patreon at patreon.com/VidityaVoletti. You can buy my games at VidityaVoletti.itch.io, and you can follow me on Twitter at VidityaVoletti, where you can send me questions that you have about dice. Please send me your thoughts on what you think about the D4, and also you can send me pictures of your dice, and I'll give them a quick little visual review, at least, as well as send me questions for the next deep dive, which I think will happen on our D6th episode. Who knows what that'll be. And before we head out, I want to make it a habit to point out a few games made by some wonderful indie creators that utilize the dice in an interesting way that we're talking about right now. The first game is Pilot Slate by Win Conditions, a game written by Kevin Wynn. Pilot Slate is a rules-light tabletop role-playing game where players embody mech pilots in a dangerous galaxy. Gather a fire team, GM, and a handful of D4s, and get ready to drop pilots. It uses a 2D4 system, which is really fun, and I know Kevin said that D4s are a favorite of his, as well as the most spacey dice, which I think is a fun aesthetic choice to use for the game. And as I mentioned here before, 2D4 actually feel pretty good to roll, so you should definitely check out that game. Please buy it. The other game is Lighthearted by Kurt Potts. Lighthearted is a magical 80s RPG of self-discovery. It's built to revisit the coming-of-age stories of 80s movies as college mages in a modern fantasy world filled with neon rainbow magic. It's a really fun game, and it uses the full spectrum of dice, with the D4 representing, like, the red magic, the red spectrum of light and its magic. And it's a really fun way, and it utilizes that idea of like rolling the D4 alongside other dice in a really fun way. So please definitely go check out and buy Lighthearted. And then finally, as mentioned before, I brought up the Bolt RPG engine by Ajay Pandey. The Bolt RPG engine is a lightning-fast D10 plus D4 action-adventure RPG engine, merging the streamlined narrative-centric gameplay of indie story games with the tense tactical combat of a crunchy action RPG. Ajay's Bolt is very interesting. It's a system engine, as was said before, and it uses a D10 plus a D4, and the D4 is like a chaos die. It depending on if you roll a 4 or a 1, something good or bad happens to you, respectively. So it's a really good way that, like I said before, to punch up your game with that uncertainty of the D4, that like immediate, oh, are we going to do it kind of thing. So check out Bolt. Definitely give it a buy. And check out all the other games that I mentioned before, Pilot Slate and Lighthearted. Please, they're great games, great people. So go ahead and do that. That is the end of our episode. Please have a wonderful day. Get your D4, show them a little bit of love. And of course, everybody, keep on rolling.